Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." When God created man, that is, of course, to say Adam, he made Adam in the image of God according to the likeness of God. There's been a fair amount of discussion about what that means, image and likeness. The image of God is the word tselem, and it speaks of the physical resemblance. That same word is used for idols. Well, when God created man, he created him to look like man for a reason. Why did Christ come in the form of a man? Because man was created in the form of Christ. It was Christ who came first. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Christ came first. We were created to appear the way that we appear because Christ appears the way that we appear. He appears as a man, therefore we appear as him. And he defined what men would look like. And then it continues, according to our likeness. That word is demuth. And it refers to the nature of God. It's associated with the word dam, which means blood. Now in Genesis 2:7, we know that in the original language, where it says, "Out of the dust of the ground, God created Adam, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul." Well, the word ground and the word man are the same word. They mean blood. They are related to this word here, demuth. It means blood. All of it is related to that word, dam. It's not our image that is dependent on the blood. In other words, it's not our physical likeness that is dependent on the blood. It's the likeness in character, it's the likeness in nature that is dependent on the blood. So when we were created, we were never created to be anything apart from the work of the blood. And this, of course, makes a lot of sense because Adam is really a type for God. When God says, for example, it's not good for the man to be alone, he's using Adam as an illustration for himself. Because Adam is created in the image and the likeness of God. So when it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, it's because it wasn't good for God to be alone, and hence he created us. Now, of course, God could not make another one of himself, but he made himself a bride and a body. He could not make another one of himself, so he had to devise a method, and of course this is not difficult for God, but he had to devise a method in which a non-God creature, a non-deity creature, could become essentially just like God. So now we have this whole lamb was slain from the foundation of the world and everything was formed on the slain lamb. The slain lamb is the structural foundation, and because of that we look the way we look, but not only that, everything is built on the basis of the blood of Christ. Everything is built with the blood of Christ as an integral portion of its substance in Genesis 2:7. This happened because God loves. This happened because God desired relationship. This happened because God desired another one like himself, although it was not possible to create another one like himself because there is only the one God. So God solved the problem. He created man, and man would fall, and then he would redeem man, and man would become one with him at the cross in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. Man would become the new creation of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Man would become the body of Christ in 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, something serious happened. When Adam and Eve stepped out from God's dominion in Genesis chapter 3. God was love and He taught them about love. God gave them dominion over the world. God gave them relationship. God gave them absolutely everything, including His image, His character, His likeness, including His nature. This was all a part of being the humans that God created. But when man stepped out from God's dominion, and he stepped into Satan's dominion in Genesis 3, and he ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, then Satan took dominion, and he took it over the whole world, and the old sin nature was born. Something happened to the human. God did not create humans with an old sin nature. But when Satan visited them, when Satan's influence came in there, and an old sin nature was formed in them, there was something not human formed in them. God created human. Satan created old sin nature. The old sin nature is not a human component. It is an extra human component. It was never intended to be there. God did not desire it there. God doesn't want it there. God wants it dead. He doesn't appreciate it. He doesn't enjoy it. He doesn't fellowship with it. He wants no part of it. He wants us to have no part of it because it is not human. God created human. Satan created old sin nature. In 1 John 4:8, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In their creation, Adam and Eve knew God and they knew the love of God. In John 1:4, in Him was life and life was the light of men. In their creation, Adam and Eve possessed eternal life and eternal light. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In their creation, Adam and Eve possessed truth and life. We were created for the purpose of being manifestations of love, of life, of light, and of truth, but we lost all that in the fall. We were created humans. Humans are the manifestation of love and life and light and truth, but they lost all that in the fall. In the fall, something devastating happened to humanity, and it wasn't just that they were kicked out of the garden, and it wasn't just that they became self-conscious, and it wasn't just that they got an old sin nature, although the old sin nature was the instrument of what took place. In 1 John 4:16, in the B part, God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. They were created to be one with the love of God. And so when Satan attacked them in Genesis 3, 1-4, he was attacking the love of God first. They received love, they received definition, they received the Word of God, they received fellowship, they received everything they could possibly need or want. And they received it directly from God Himself. We know that He met them every single day to provide these things for them, including to teach them the Word of God. They were enjoying this. It gave them an extremely high quality of life. And God was doing it because He loved them. So Satan had to attack the love of God. Genesis 3:1, does it make any sense, Eve? In the original language. Not has God said. No, it's actually, does it make any sense? Would God actually say such a thing? That you can eat of any tree, but not the best tree, was the suggestion. And then in verse 4, he says to her, you will not surely die. God is not who he said he was. God is not going to do what he said he would. Nothing that God said is going to take place. Look at the beauty of that tree. And so not only did they eat from the tree, not only did they hide themselves from God as a result of that and from one another, not only did they get kicked out of the garden, but something even more profound, something even more devastating took place. We see that in Genesis 4:8. Cain talked to Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. In verse 10, God said to Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries to me from the ground." What have you done? The word blood, in the voice of your brother's blood, is the word damin. It's the plural of dam. The plural in the Old Testament for blood is only used for violent bloodshed. So he didn't say to him, "Your brother's blood calls out." He said, "Your brother's bloods call out." Now, the theological dictionary of the Old Testament makes a very good statement about the meaning of this word. "His own blood," it says, "and the blood of all his descendants." That's why it uses the plural. God said the blood of Abel, but also the blood of all of Abel's descendants through the ages, call out to me. The murder of one person is not just the murder of one person. The murder of Abel was not just the murder of Abel. It was the murder of all of Abel's descendants also. When Cain killed Abel, he killed a multitude of people, countless numbers of people. That happens today. When somebody kills somebody, they kill countless numbers of people. It's not human. You see, this is why God hates hands that shed innocent blood in Proverbs 16:17, because it is the murder of countless people. People that God created because he loved them, because people that God created that he had a purpose for them, they got killed, but not only them, God would be prevented from having the opportunity to express his love to countless descendants of those people. After the fall, Cain revealed that humanity became something different than human. And it's found in the sin nature. The sin nature is not a part of the human being. Yes, the sin nature is a physical part of my body, but there's a part of my body that is not human, therefore. God created what was human. Satan gave rise to the sin nature. Satan created within mankind, by means of the sin nature, something that is not human. This is why it can be so utterly cruel, because that part is the part that gives Satan dominion. Why did Cain kill Abel? Because Satan had dominion through Cain's old sin nature. And so now, while God created Abel to be fully human, to enjoy everything that humanity was made to enjoy, Satan introduced a component that made them different than human. A person who is in the sin nature is not a human being. They are not operating as a human being. A human being is attached to it, but they are not operating as a human being. They are not human. You see that today. For example, the war in Ukraine and what the Russian soldiers are doing to the Ukrainians, killing all these innocents, these children and these women, people who have nothing to do with anything. They're simply living their lives. And in comes this army and slaughters these people. That's not human. When Hitler was killing the Jews in the furnaces, that's not human. That's demon. That's not human. Make no mistake about it. There's a component of humanity. There's a component of mankind. It's the old sin nature, and the old sin nature is not human. God didn't create it. It didn't come from God. God didn't want it. God destroys it. God gets rid of it as soon as we shed this body. But it's not human. God didn't make it. And He made us to be humans, and He made humans to be like Him. It's not human. God did not create us to not love. In 1 John 3:15, whoever hates, that is to say not loves, his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You could paraphrase it on this principle that whoever does not love is not fully human. That part of them that hates is not human. God did not introduce it. God did not create it. God did not bring it. God did not desire it. God did not plan it. Satan brought that. But it's not human. All the tyrants through the ages, how could that be when God is love? People ask you, how can such terrible things happen if there is a loving God? Because it's not human. It wasn't what God created. It's not human. In Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. The old sin nature takes away what God gave that defined us as human. That's why all the tyrants kill, and they think nothing of it. Sometimes they even feel justified. It's not human. In 1 John 5:15, the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. What Christ did is not like what Satan did. This is something that we sometimes confuse, that what Christ did was not like what Satan did. Why is it that God can allow these things? Don't misunderstand. The question shows a fundamental lack of understanding of what's actually going on. What Christ did is not like what Satan did. Christ created humans. Satan created something that's not human. Satan created a reflection of himself. And he did it through his own tree. And that's not human. God created in us a reflection of himself. And that defined human. But then Satan came and corrupted it with something that's not human. Why is evil so evil? Because it's not human. Why do these people do these things? They're not humans. Yes, they're human beings biologically. But that part of them that drives them to do that is not, by definition, is not human. In Romans 6:4, we are buried with him. We're buried with him. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, at the cross we become one new man with him. But yet also, we didn't simply stay on the cross, we were buried with him after we died with him. And then we were raised from the dead with him. And now all we have is the new creation, which is actually a way of restoring the original creation. We were not intended, and God would not permit, for that non-human component to remain in us. It wasn't supposed to be there in the first place. And so God did what was necessary to take it away, He killed that which isn't human. But because he loves us and he would not allow us to be killed just because Satan planted something into us, he made us into one person with Christ, sin and all. And then the one new man dies. And it's all dead. The one new man was God's way of eliminating Satan's inhumanity in us. When we were buried with Christ, the non-human part was buried. When we were raised as the one new man, which is the image of Christ, the human part was all that remained. And now we are the body of Christ. Now all things that happen support and develop that image of Christ in Romans 8, 28 and 29. All things that happen in one way or another now make us more and more human. We become more and more in the image of Christ. We have to draw closer and closer to the Word of God, to the love of God, to the mercy of God, to the kindness of God, to the gentleness of God, to the goodness of God, to the grace of God. These things make us human. When somebody displays, let's say, impatience, that's a non-human trait. Because love is patient. When somebody displays impatience, and we are so weird, we take our old sin nature as some kind of a almost laughable or amusing excuse. I remember several months ago, I was watching a football game, and one of the coaches for one of the teams, he exploded at the referee, acted like an idiot, and I was thinking to myself, what is the matter with this guy? And the commentators were commenting on his behavior, and then afterwards the coach goes up to the referee and says, sorry, he kind of laughs, he says, I'm just kind of impatient. Do you even have the remote idea, coach, what you are saying? You're saying that you're not human. Because impatience is not a part of the humanity that God created. It's a part of the fall, the old sin nature that Satan implanted. Unforgiveness, lack of mercy, lack of kindness, lack of compassion, judging people, arrogance. These are elements of the fast. Strife, argumentativeness, all these things are elements of not human. What God did is He gave us a way to become human again. And He took us to the cross with the Savior. And He made us one person with Him so that He could cleanse us by His blood. And the sins went away, the manifestations of not human went away. And it all died. So that we could be made new. So that we could be made human. Human is actually extraordinary. Not human is devastating. In 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. In 1 John 3:23, this is His commandment. So, okay, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and this is the commandment that it's talking about, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandments. This is exactly what it means to be human. Living in faith and faith responses with faith obedience and loving one another as He has loved us in John 13:34, that is human. That is the likeness of God in which we were created. That is human. The likeness of God defines human, and God is love. So if I want to step into human, I step into the love of God. In Romans 5:8, God commends His love toward us. He commends synesthesis, makes us into one entity with the love of God, that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God made us one with the love of God. That was our pre-fall condition. This was the human condition that God had created humans to be. It's one with the love of God. God made us human again. When I go to the cross, when I go to the love of God, when I accept the work of the blood of Christ for my life, when I live in the mercy of God, when I practice forgiveness, whether it's toward myself or another person, it doesn't matter. It's all forgiveness. When I have these things, I draw near to these things, I'm becoming human again. When I refuse to judge because I refuse to receive evil reports, when I refuse to think evil, in 1 Corinthians 13, I become human again. Things like envy or jealousy or strife or contentions or bitterness or resentment, these are non-human characteristics. If I possess this, I'm not operating in humanity. I'm something in my function other than human. What it means to be human, I live in the Word of God, and I practice the love of God. That's humanity. In Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love. Kindly affectioned, that's philostorgos. It's mutual affection like you would find in a family. That's the relationship that humans are to have with one another, that we are to have in the body of Christ in the churches. This is how we relate to one another, with a mutual affection, affection that I have toward you, you have toward me, mutual affection that you would have in a family. That's human. It's not bitterness, it's not negativity, it's not anger, it's not accusation, it's not suspicion, it's not jealousy, it's not strife, it's not lying, it's not accusing, it's not attacking. It's affection. Mutually shared within relationships that reflect the same type as you find in families. That's human. The world is not human. Why is Russia doing the things that Russia does? Because they're not human in the component of their function. Their bodies are human, but their thinking and their source is not human, and it's not God. It's the source that was brought by Satan when he created the old sin nature, and by living in the old sin nature, they live in something that's not human. God created what is human. Satan then added to it what is not human. In 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, this is of course speaking of Christ, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable is human. The glory of God reflected in our lives, that's human. That's what we were created for. The love of God manifested in us, to us, and through us, that's human. In Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. That's human. Having peace that goes well beyond what you know of your circumstances, what you understand about other people, anything that you can comprehend, when your peace goes beyond that, then it keeps your heart, your frame of reference, and your mind through Christ. That's human. It's not human to live in anxiety. It's not human to live in all kinds of fear. It's not human to live in trepidation or stress or any kind of angst. resentment, regret. These things are not human. Guilt is not human, except when it is bona fide, when a person is living in sin. But other than that, it's not human. Condemnation is not human. We become human as we get to know God. We become human as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. We become human as we draw near to God. We become human as the love of God is developed in us. We become human. Faith makes us human. I'll never forget the story of a very brave soldier. There's so many of them. And he ran out into a battlefield to rescue a wounded friend. This was during World War II. And the commanding officer said, "You stay right where you are. Don't you go out there." And he blew off the commanding officer and he ran right into the fire. And he got hit several times. But he brought his friend back to safety so that his friend wouldn't die. That's human. He had no fear. That's human. I'm sure he was aware of the bullets and the need to stay safe, but love overcame the fear. That's human. In Ephesians 3:12, we have boldness and access and confidence by faith. That's human. The things that faith produces in us are the things that God originally intended us to have. These are the things that make us human. In 1 Corinthians 1:9, we're called to the fellowship of His Son. That's human. Having a rich relationship and fellowship and friendship and this heart love with God. That's human. In Romans 8:29, we have kinship with Christ. That's human. In John 10:10, we have an abundant life, and that life is gotten in Galatians 2:20 through our oneness with Christ because of the cross. That's what makes us human. Christ at the cross made us human. And the more that we learn how to live in the cross, in the life of the cross, the more we become human. Just because your biology is human, that's not what makes you human. What makes you human is the life that God had given you and that He restores you to at the cross. That's where you become human. Amen? If anyone is hearing this message and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior and you don't know that you would go to heaven, pray in your heart, "Lord Jesus, forgive me, save me, come into my heart and live, save my soul, and take me to heaven when I die." Amen.